Hello everyone, I'm Chitra Sethi, Editorial Director at Tech Briefs, and also the host of today's podcast. Before we begin, I would like to thank our listeners for tuning in and listening to Here is an Idea podcast for the last 5 years. I want to inform you that this will be the last episode of Here is an Idea. We will be back with a brand new podcast series in 2024. Now let's talk about creating the future. SAE Media Group's Create the Future Design Contest was established in 2002 to recognize and reward engineering innovations that benefit society and the global economy. This year, it received over 500 entries from engineers, students, and entrepreneurs in 60 countries worldwide. A research team from NeuroPair won the grand prize, an award of $25,000, for an innovative approach to spinal cord repair that gives new hope to people who suffer from severe spinal cord injuries. The injectable scaffold of aligned magnetic nanoparticles creates conditions for protecting, healing, and regrowing neurons that were damaged during spinal cord injury. Joining us today is the CEO and founder of NeuroPair, Dr. Johannes Daprich, who will talk about the winning technology. Welcome, Johannes, and congratulations for winning the grand prize.
Thank you.
So how do you feel about winning the 2023 Create the Future Grand Prize?
Great. It was unexpected. I mean, they had a lot of talks that were really good, and we had no sense that we might be able to win it. It's a really good validation of our work so far. It should give us another way to connect with individuals who can help us go further in some way. So that could be philanthropy or investors who want to make a difference in other connection. It's all about funding, but the connections obviously are really important.
Great. And congrats again. So let's talk about NeuroPair. How did the idea of this technology originate?
So I was at a conference where one of the speakers described an approach that they were developing to make an injectable scaffold for repairing spinal cord injury. There are other approaches out there where scaffolds are getting implanted, but that's not a preferred way. The neurosurgeon really don't want to cut the spinal cord. So one idea was to take existing fibers and inject them and then reorient them so that they can work as a guide, as a scaffold to help regenerate connections and connect the severed ends. But it's really difficult to do that. The injury site is viscous. It has cells, matrix components. So it's very difficult to orient or magnetically orient fibers that you inject, even if they're small. And so I had worked with magnetic beads for a long time and sort of played with them. For other applications, we have a genomics application where we collect DNA with them. And I realized you can turn them into fibers after you inject them, these magnetic particles. So that was the idea for the approach.
Can you explain in simple terms how NeuroPair's treatment for spinal cord injury works and how is it applied?
So we're still far from the application, but the basic technology is like with iron filings that maybe you played with in elementary school. You have these pieces of iron on a piece of paper. When you put a magnet underneath, they follow the field lines of the magnetic field. And we do exactly the same thing. It's 100 times smaller, depending on the particle size, 1,000 times smaller. But the principle is exactly the same. And then you can also, after the fibers have formed, cross-link them. There are many different ways, biocompatible ways, where you can either connect the particles directly, or you can take components that you add that diffuse more slowly than the formation of the particles into the fibers. And so they coat them and turn them into flexible but stable fibers that remain even after you remove the field. And so the idea would be a two-component formulation that you inject when the patient would be ready. And then you apply an external magnetic field. It could be electromagnetic field. It could be simple high-strength magnetic permanent magnets that then turn the beads, chains into chains, and then fibers that go from one end of the injury site to the other one. And the nerves like to grow along fibers like this. So there are many publications out there, axons like ivy on a vine or something, they like to grow along fibers. And the idea is to stimulate that with growth factors, bioactive factors, and there's other things we can add to this gel that would then hopefully result in a regeneration and new functional connections.
Got it. So NeuroPair is a fast and minimally invasive approach. How does it compare with current medical treatments for such injuries?
There's really no surgical treatment available for spinal cord injury. So a patient, when they come into a trauma center, the injury gets stabilized, bone fragments, other things get taken out, but then there's really no treatment. Like a heart attack or stroke, we have learned how to do that. In spinal cord injury, that doesn't exist yet. So you stabilize and basically hope for the best. But there are many recent encouraging approaches that indicate that this old dogma that regeneration is not possible is not correct anymore. So people have been using stem cells. That's promising. Electrical stimulation. There are several papers out last year, this year, and also rehabilitation and these bioactive factors that can help improve whatever connections you might still have. There's enough plasticity that even like 10% of the connections, the body can work with them. And then if you further strengthen them and build them, the body and the brain can make them work and gain some of the lost function. So we're far away from that, of course, but we hope that this will work. And the beauty of our approach is that we can combine with such other approaches. So ultimately, I think the solution has to be a combination treatment. There's no single approach that can do it by themselves.
Interesting. So what are or what were some of the challenges you faced in design and development of this approach?
As always, the usual, protecting the IP, the intellectual property is important. It can take a long time, costs a lot of money to get a patent issued. You need to find the right places to do key experiments. You can try to do it yourself, but of course that's unless you're set up in some specific incubator or in a university setting, that can be very difficult. And you have to somehow fund yourself or find family or friends or people who believe in you to try to make this work initially. And it's really, you really need a spouse that supports you. I mean, people get divorced over this stuff all the time. It can become addictive, but you have to try to keep it going and see that it gets somewhere.
That's right. Those are challenges any startup faces. So, you know, I know we met at the event where this award was given and you talked about the patents that you already have. So how close are you to commercializing this technology and what are the next steps?
It will take some time. It'll take years from now for any product, especially for human applications. We're always looking for grant funding. We had New Jersey Catalyst funding, seed fund, that was the first one that really believed in us. We're working on NSF, NIH, DOD grant funding, but in this field, I don't have a track record yet. So you have to work with a good team and then try to convince the reviewers that you can do it, that it can be difficult. So we need to demonstrate safety and efficacy in small animals, then larger animals, and then we would get to clinical trials in human. So there could be a product for veterinary use too, if there's a market. So we're looking into this, and we're welcome feedback. That could occur significantly faster and help us also demonstrate the potential of the method for human use. So I know of two companies who took this route. One was in early genomics and the other one in rapid wound care. So depending on who you talk to, they said it could be a distraction to go into a veterinary application. But that's, of course, easier because you don't have the regulatory hurdles. And it could also help us refine the product since we need to conduct animal experiments anyway. So in the regulatory aspect, we have like two advantages. So we should be able to use a relatively small trial to show proof of concept. So the FiberMag technology that we're developing either restores some function or it doesn't. So when there is regeneration, we can build on it. So it's not like you have to spend many years and use trials with hundreds of patients to determine efficacy of some percentage that would be the case for some new drugs that would be in development. The second one is that we have an ability to work with human spinal cord explants with Yves Tsai in Ottawa. So that's an incredible opportunity to see very early on what may work and what may not work compared to animal trials. So it could save years and maybe millions of dollars by finding out what will work in humans. So the saying is fail fast, learn faster. So we believe that that's a good route to take.
Right. And it's not easy to build something from nothing. Do you have any advice for engineers or researchers aiming to bring their ideas to market?
Yeah, let's see. It could be a long, long list of things. So an idea, of course, is necessary, but far from sufficient. So I used to be one of those academic guys at Max Planck or different places where you develop something and then you say, oh, that's great, it works. What could we use it for? Now I think, no, the first thing you should do is really determine whether there really is a market and then devote the energy to develop it. So Edison learned that the hard way early on. So there are many ways to assist you in doing that. There are programs, the NIH, the NSF has the ICOR program. There's other business programs. So it's mostly about what you should do, not what you could do. So that took me a while to appreciate the difference. And then, of course, it has to work, at least eventually. So being able to show an investor or grant reviewer that it really works is essential. If you can build a simple prototype, that's great. So good data always beats a good theory. But if you can't, research the literature and build on that. Try to protect your IP, talk to experts, potential users in the field to refine your approach. If you don't do your homework or talk to others, the risk is that you develop something in a vacuum and that can lead to all kinds of problems. So, and then there's always the other typical advice of never give up, be persistent, but it's not quite the full story. So you only hear of a few percent of companies that are actually successful.
Great. Thank you so much for speaking with me, Johannes, and good luck with the next steps.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Again, I would like to thank our listeners for tuning in to Here is an Idea podcast for the last 5 years. This was the last episode of Here is an Idea. We will be back with a brand new podcast series in 2024. Stay tuned for an update on techbriefs.com.